chatterbox, the one for the Auburn lock. Whom do you see? It's little orphan Annie. She and Sandy make a pair. They never seem to have a care. Cute little sheep, this little orphan Annie. Bright eyes, cheeks a rosy glow, there's a store of healthiness handy. My size always on the go, if you want to know, heart says Sandy, always wears a sunny smile. Now wouldn't it be worth the while, if you could be like little orphan Annie.
Here we are, around orphan Annie time again. But before we join Annie, I have a mighty good tip I want to pass along to you. When you come home from school on hot days, all tired and dragged out, here's one sure way to get cooled off and full of pep and go again. Make yourself a big, delicious, ice-cold Ovaltine shake-up. Yes, sir. As soon as you come home from school every afternoon, just take out your Orphan Annie shake-up mug or an ordinary plain glass mason jar, put in fresh milk, then some cracked ice. Then add plenty of swell new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Now, that's all you put in. And shake it up for all you're worth. The more you shake it, the creamier and richer and colder it gets. And boy, oh boy, when you pour it out, it's so frosty and delicious with all those big, sweet, chocolatey bubbles foaming and bursting on top, you'll just want to drink about a barrel full. But that's only half the story. Remember, besides tasting like a million, Ovaltine shake-ups are just grand to help pep you up and take away that tired and dragged-out feeling. Now, that's because all those special things in chocolate-flavored Ovaltine help to build up pep and energy quickly. The kind of pep you need to be right up on your toes and feeling tip-top for all the games you play. And so, if you don't have chocolate-flavored Ovaltine at home now, ask your mother to get you a can at her grocery or drugstore right away, so you'll be all set to make those swell-tasting shake-ups that are so good for you every single afternoon when you come home from school. But now, tonight's Thursday night and club night again for all you members of Annie's Secret Society. And right after tonight's adventure is over, we're going to broadcast an important secret message in Annie's mystery radio code. So keep listening. And now, getting back to Annie. Last time, Saunders, who seems to know jewelry, pronounced the glittering stones on Annie and Joe's feather cloaks to be genuine diamonds. But vast riches mean nothing on that lost island. Here it is, several days later now, our friends have finished their radio transmission set, and for 3 days, Mr. Wilcox, Annie, and Joe have been operating it, hoping against hope that it's sending feeble signals to the outside world. Now, here they are in their palm house, and Joe is operating the set. Listen.
Am I doing this right, Bud?
Perfectly, Joe. 2 revolutions of the wheel every 15 seconds.
It's a good thing we got Mr. Silo's watch back from Saunders. We can send out these signals on exact time.
Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on the second hand of the watch right now.
Saunders surely hated the pop of that watch, didn't he?
I'll say he did. He's more excited about the diamonds now than about gold.
Well, sure, you suppose there really are diamonds on this island, Bud?
Don't know, Joe. Of course, I wouldn't trust Saunders as far as I could throw a grand pip. But the man seems to know something about diamonds.
I'll say. He admitted he dealt in stolen and smuggled ones all over the world.
Yes, he knows something about them, all right. But before I went head over heels on these, I'd have the opinion of a good jeweler or chemist.
Leaping lizard, what difference does it make anyhow? We can't use the diamonds.
Not here, Annie, not in 1,000 years. If we could live that long on this island... As Binnacle Bob said, a loaf of bread would be of more use to us. But just the same, if these stones that the natives wear so freely in their ears and hair are diamonds...
You getting excited about them too, Mr. Wilcox?
Yes, Annie, I'm afraid I am. There's probably a little bit of the Saunders in all of us. I can't help thinking... Well, I'm a young man. If we ever are rescued from this island, well, it would be mighty nice to be able to go back to my England rich... Oh, there I go. Like Saunders, dreaming dreams of riches back in civilization. Sorry, it won't happen again.
It's all right, Bud. But, leaping lizards, do you suppose this set is going to do anything for us? Here we've been working it for 3 days now. Do you suppose any sound we're sending is getting anywhere?
I hope so, Annie. Well, I can't guarantee it. After all, I've only done the best I could.
With more things and material to work with, I think I might have made a transmission set that we could speak over, or at least one on which we could send Morse code, actual signals in telegraph. As it is, this will have to do, for it's the best I can do.
The what show?
Shush, yeah.
Turning that crank and wheel, Mr. Wilcox, like Joe's doing, what does it really do?
It puts electric waves in operation, Annie. Or I hope it does. And those waves should interfere with normal wireless communication on the Pacific and on its shores, so that sooner or later someone in some wireless station is going to begin to wonder where these strange sounds we're making on the air are coming from.
Shucks, what sound?
They don't sound like much to us, Joe, but on a receiving set...
Wait a minute. Okay, go ahead, bud.
On a receiving set, they'll make quite a commotion. It should make the waves we're sending out from here a loud whining sound. Rather like the wind howling around the roof on a blustery night. Only anyone who hears them will know they're not static.
Why?
Because they come regularly. Don't you see? That's the reason we've been sending out our calls 15 seconds apart. Regular. For the last 3 days now, we've been working this set of ours for 15 minutes every hour. And if we have a strong enough generator here, and our waves really are getting out into the ether, by this time, some ship in the Pacific, or perhaps some powerful land station, has heard them, coming at regular intervals. And if they have, you can bet they're wondering about them.
Say, do you suppose this homemade transmission radio set of Annie's on her unknown island really is getting results? They have no way of telling, but Wilcox isn't too confident of it. Though he did the best work he could, and each hour our friends sent out their frantic signals. But now, we're going thousands of miles away, across the great Pacific, to the port of Valparaiso on the coast of Chile in South America. Last time we were there, we met Daddy Warbucks with his friends, Bill Darch and Captain Taffrail, on the Falcon. Mr. Warbucks was just about ready to give up the search for his Annie, but he asked his friends to grant him one more week. The week was up today. But just as the Falcon was about to weigh anchor, a representative of the government of Chile, and Mr. Warbucks has been working with all governments of South America in his frantic search for Annie, came to the yacht with a story of mysterious radio signals which the big government station in Valparaiso had been receiving. And here now, in an automobile, driving swiftly to the big radio station, is Mr. Warbucks, Darch, and Captain Taffrail with the messenger. And listen, Mr. Warbucks is talking.
Didn't I tell you, fellas? Didn't I tell you?
Now, Oliver, take it easy, old man. Take it easy.
Listen, if there's a ray of hope, a single ray...
Now, don't get your heart set on this, old-timer. Just because this radio station here in Chile has been getting queer calls...
Queer? I'll say they're queer. From what Senor Gomez here says, why, it might be Miami sending out these calls. It might be...
Easy, Oliver. By the sea, we stayed here with you for a week.
Yes, a week. And what do we get? Our first leading clue.
But don't get your hopes up too high. Senor Gomez here merely came to
si,
us...
Senor, on orders. From Senor Carranza, head of the Radio Bureau of Chile. See, queer signals he has received by air. And acting on orders from El Presidente...
My request.
I was sent to summon. See, and here we are. Senors, the great radio station of my country.
Well, come on.
We're with you, Oliver. But please don't hope for too much.
Okay, Bill. I've got a hold of myself. Let's go inside.
This way, senor. Senor Carranza.
Come in.
I have brought them, senor, according to order.
Si. Which one of you, senors, is Senor Warbucks?
I am.
Very well. Senor, I was ordered by El Presidente to report to you, senor.
Right. Well, what is it?
I am not sure, senor. Nor do I know the whys and wherefores of my orders. Nevertheless, I was ordered to report to you that... we, in our radio station here, have been receiving strange signals.
Signals, senor?
Not signals, exactly. But our communication with shore stations and with ships at sea has been interfered with by strange waves and sounds, which in all my experience I have never met with here before.
Annie!
Now, just a second, Oliver. I don't want to throw cold water on anything, but just because...
Annie!
Easy, Oliver. By the sea, this doesn't mean...
Gentlemen... I have my own ideas regarding this. I'm not a stubborn man, but I can't help the feel in my heart that... Senor Carranza...
Si, senor.
Can we hear these signals that you picked up?
Oh, si, senor. But they amount to nothing. merely an interference with our normal communication.
I told you so, Oliver.
Just the same, let's hear him.
Very easy, mis amigos. For 15 minutes of each hour for the past 3 days, we have heard the sound. Is it time now? One. Put power on. We wish to hear the sound which come to us from somewhere every 15 seconds. See. Now, but listen now, mis amigos. Any second and you... Ready, my friends.
Great guns. You mean you've heard this for 3 days now?
Si, senor. Every hour. For 15 minutes at 15 second intervals. In a moment you will hear it again, senor.
No idea where it comes from?
No, senor. This is new to us. Ever since I have been in charge of the station, never have I seen...
Great guns, then it must be...
Oliver, I...
Now, Bill, I'm sure of it in my heart. I may be an old fool, but I believe this signal is coming from Annie. Maybe I'm not being strictly reasonable in this. That sound might be caused by any one of a thousand different things. But I believe it's coming from Annie. And now, I won't quit in my job here until I find out if it is coming from her.
Say, did you hear that? Annie's signals are coming through. But will Daddy Warbucks ever be able to follow up that weird, helpless signal, which can give him no direction as to where he can find Annie's lost island? And now, tonight's club night, so all you members of Annie's Secret Society, attention please for an important secret message in Annie's Mystery Radio Code. Get your pencils ready, and here's the special code key for tonight. It's number 17. Have you got that? Number 17 is the special code key for tonight's secret message. And now, here's the message itself. First word, 2, 13, 22, 14, 9, 13. Second word, 24, 19, 13, 13, 15, 13. Third word, 5, 15, 14, 25, 25, 1, 25, 4. Fourth word, 14, 25, 10, 19, 12, 13, 9. And now the fifth and last word. 9, 14, 1, 11. That's all, and that was another important secret message in Annie's Mystery Radio Code. So all you club members, set your telematic decoder pins for the number 17 code as I told you, and you'll have the whole thing figured out automatically, quick as a wink. And say, if you're missing out on the fun of decoding these secret messages from Annie, don't forget, you can still join her secret society free if you try new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Now all you do is print your name and address plainly on a piece of paper, then mail it in together with all of the special gold-colored seals that you can find only underneath the lid of a can of new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine. Mail it to Little Orphan Annie, Chicago, Illinois. So ask your mother to get you new chocolate-flavored Ovaltine so you can send in the gold-colored seal for your membership right away. And then Annie will send you her official telematic decoder pin and the big book of club secrets just as fast as she can. And everybody wants to be here right on time tomorrow to see if Daddy can find some way of tracing Annie now that he's heard their feeble radio signals. Until tomorrow, then, goodbye.